Hello, welcome to Spotlight. Artistic talent as bright as the sun.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we're packed with art across the spectrum, treading the boards, ringing bells, playing music, and all things visual. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, you know the rest, bell ringing, campanology. Well, are the two the same? I think so. Or it's one hand bells. Howard Kane with an E at manxradio.com. Spotlight at manxradio.com. Love to hear from you. We are getting more contacts. That's great. More art, less chat today. First off, I headed down a few days back to enjoy a preview of a wonderful exhibition in the heart of Douglas, Follicon.
Right, and come down to the Villa Marina Arcade for a wonderful, colourful exhibition of art which is just being unveiled this very moment, pretty much, as I've dropped down. And, well, to find out more, I am joined by...
Shelley Wernham. I'm here from UCM. I am the Assistant Programme Manager of the Art, Design and Music team here at UCM.
Terrific. So what is actually going on here? We've just snuck into a slightly quieter part off the arcade into one of the shop units, and we're surrounded by some designs, some photographs, some fantastic clothing. What's going on today?
So we have two exhibitions, one which is the degree, so that's the culmination of the 3 years of their art design, creative visual practice degree, and then our FE show, so that's students from age 16 through to 18, and we also have some mature students on our course as well. So they're all exhibiting all their work from the last 10 weeks of work, so that's a really big achievement for those students. So it's an amazing display. It's the first time we've taken our entire department off-site to launch it in front of the public, so it's been a big event for us all.
It does look mega, it has to be said, and everyone, I feel completely underdressed because everyone is very, very smart, I have to tell you, dropping down to the arcade today. A wonderful shop window for the students to get their work out for people to see.
Absolutely. It's unusual for us to have an opportunity for the public to see so much of it. We had an amazing experience in the summer holidays where we were offered to put a little exhibition in the shops, and from there this has just grown into an opportunity to have a bigger space for our big final show.
And we've just stepped into the upper part of the Villa Marina Arcade. I've managed to collar one of the students here. They're all busy just doing the final touches and such like. Just like to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Kitty Kennedy. I'm doing the foundation in art and design part-time.
Brilliant. So how long will that sort of take you to do the course?
I've just finished the first year, so I've got one more year to finish.
Enjoying it?
That next year. I'm having a ball. It's great.
Tell us about what you're displaying.
So I'm displaying three pieces of prints. So I've recently got into printmaking. These are prints in fabric and paper, and they've been applied to net backings, and they are hung currently, so they look like they're floating.
They do, so it's really quite effective right here at the back, and I didn't even notice the net backing at first. I thought they were just hanging down there. So these are actually printed onto paper, then mounted onto the netting,
yes,
and then hung or suspended from the wires.
Yes, and they're in collage effect, so I've been able to be quite experimental with the imagery that I've used.
Terrific. What sort of inspiration do you sort of use for your art?
I did refer to a lot of abstract artists for this one. You can see that there is quite a lot of varied imagery going on here, so and collage, people like Kurt Schwitters or Robert Rauschenberg.
Yes, I've seen Kurt Schwitters' work. He's been here before.
That's right, yes, Isle of Man connections.
He was,
so,
yes,
yeah.
He was interred in the war, wasn't he?
He was, that's right, yes.
An incredible work. And where would you like to go with your work full-time then? Is this something you're wanting to turn into a profession? It's something which is just a very keen hobby, anywhere in between? Where are you on that scale?
Well, I'm a mature student, so I'm coming out of quite a long time working in corporate environment.
This
is a bit of a change in direction for me. Because I've only done the first year, I'm not too sure where I'm going to go with this right now. So this time next year, I might have a better idea.
Just dropped back down into the room just off the side of the arcade to catch up with more of the students and artists arranged with their art in the room. So what we'll do is, I think, get them to introduce themselves, and then we can have a look at the pieces they have actually done. So if I go around and you can just introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Abby, and I'm on the Visual Creative Practice degree.
Beautiful.
Hi, I'm Amy. I'm also on the Creative Visual Practice degree.
Okay.
I'm Millie. I'm also on the Creative Visual Practice degree.
That's three. Must be good.
I'm Izzy. I'm also on the degree.
Four. It's a full house. It's a full house. Right. A great room here full of art. We'll start with you then, Abby. And which one's yours then?
The mother thread over here. The quilt.
Ah, the quilt. So is, I called this earlier on embroidery. You're going to tell me it's not embroidery now, aren't you?
Well, there is some embroidery on it, which took a long time. So the idea was to make a collaborative quilt off the back of my dissertation, which was It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. So I did some participatory workshops and then some anonymous submissions as well. And yeah, it's been really fulfilling, very tedious, took a long time.
A lot of, yeah, a lot of work, I imagine.
yeah, lots of work. I'm glad that it's finished, but yeah, very proud.
Oh, very quite proud. Right, too. And let's just take a look, because I hadn't really taken a full glance at it, so... Wow, you can see, yeah, an awful lot of work.
I did all the anonymous submissions myself, the artwork, and then there were some that the participants did in the workshops I hosted. And then the borders were all of me and my daughter, and then her baby clothes from growing up. And there, so there's 25 stories on each side, and then the borders.
And is it fabrics? Is that your sort of favoured media working in this thing, or is it something you've come to new?
Yeah, this was completely new. Usually I paint. I do painting. So, yeah, but I was just thinking of ways to kind of bring the community together, and this came to fruition, and it was beautiful.
Let's move along. Who's got next?
Hi. So this is my big ceramic sculptural piece.
Right. This is the piece in the middle, which is sort of... eye-catching before, and I thought when I was looking at it before, it almost sort of looked like a small section blown up of chainmail or something like
that. Yes, so it is. It's a chainmail piece out of ceramic. So it's 84 links in total. So 56 days represents the six-week cycle of my infusions for my house. So as the piece gradually gets more stained in colours, it represents the different symptoms coming back as my body slowly reaches the point where I need a new medical infusion. So it's sort of that representation of the full cycle and like the life that I have to live to a 56-day period to you know be healthy and function as a person. So that's sort of what the piece is to resemble. Alongside it, I've also got a weighted bag with it that I'm inviting the audience and stuff to participate in lifting it and holding the piece. While looking at my work to feel the weight of the chainmail and like the sort of pressures and the everyday struggles of living with a chronic illness and managing all of that through everyday life.
Fantastic. And what, if you don't mind me asking, what is the illness when we're talking about?
I have Crohn's disease.
Crohn's.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like a visual representation of how you deal with it.
Yeah, pretty much. For the last sort of 2 years, I've been on infusions. So every 8 weeks, I have to get an infusion done, which sort of then tops me up into being fine. And then once it gets closer, I sort of get more of my symptoms back. But touch wood, I've been healthy since I've been on it. So fingers crossed.
So it's a very personal piece.
It is, yeah. A lot of my work throughout the degree has sort of been... very personal to me, whether that's through more of my health or I've done a piece that was on like imposter syndrome and so it is, that's sort of the work that I like creating that's very connected to me but also allows a wider audience to understand and appreciate something as well or connect to it in their own way. That's what a lot of my work I like being about.
Very best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll look for my next victim and here we go. Now, which piece of art is yours?
This painting is mine. My piece is about the connection that you share with the earth, especially the connection that you would share as a woman and the sort of creative power of the woman's body and that sort of energy cycle and creative cycle of nature. So it all links back to nature. I work directly with the earth, so all of my paints are handmade from stones, soils,
wow, so plant all natural
matter,
pigments.
All natural pigments, wow. And it's bound together using egg yolk, which is like before oil paint, people used egg yolk. It's called tempera, egg tempera.
And the subject itself then, because it's sort of, as I look at it, it is a nude... still life, nude, with the sort of the head obscured and obviously seeing the main part of the body, whatever. So just tell us again the sort of the reason for the subject for that.
I am focusing a lot on ecofeminism within my work, and that sort of ties the way you would view nature and women to do with sort of like farming and ecological struggles and the way that people treat women in a patriarchal society. It's all very similar when you look into it. So I was looking at the connection to the earth that a woman shares and sort of the historic, like, mother nature and the creative power within a woman's body. It's the same as nature. It's like a divine creation. When people talk about a divine creator being God and God being a man, it's, well, no. Why are you here? Your mother.
God could be a woman, yes. Yeah. Mother Earth, yeah. Mother Nature, all so the rest of it.
That's what
absolutely.
It's all about.
Longer term ambitions or thoughts of what you want to do next?
I would like to do something to do with nature conservation, and I would love to tie in my art practice to that. So taking photographs, turning them to cyanotypes, having an exhibition about all the conservation work that happens on the Isle of Man. And then, yeah, I'd like to go down that route.
Brilliant. So you could be the next Biosphere Artist in Residence.
Hopefully.
Go for it. Thanks very much. Best of luck.
Thank you.
And last but by no means least, and we are looking in the corner here.
Yep.
Fantastic. So is this work yours here, this one? Loving
all
it.
The blue.
So give us, yeah, there is a fantastic, beautiful blue theme with loads of different shades of blue. Amazing deep blue in that bag over there. Just loving that. That's absolutely gorgeous. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the theme for the whole garments and products that I have finally produced is with the theme of water, just as a nice natural theme to go with and lovely colours to dye fabrics to. The whole point of the project is to recycle materials and recycle textile waste. So there's a company on the island called Albion Knitting Company. So they very kindly donated quite a few of their panels that were damaged, and I dyed them to the colours that I wanted to be quilted into the jacket. So all the texture that you can see under the quilting, under the sheer fabric, is all shredded and torn apart knitted panels that create this beautiful texture. So
it's ingenious. It looks really very wearable. Actually, it looks very comfy as well.
Yeah. It's very warm.
It does look warm. Not a bad thing on the Isle of Man.
Yeah. So the product itself is a jacket, and then you've got panels that can attach to the bottom. These panels that attach to the bottom create a longer coat, take them off, and they turn into bags. So the whole idea is to make it multifunctional and reduce the amount that you have in your wardrobe.
That is clever.
Yeah. Under the whole umbrella of like sustainability and reducing and mending. So the whole construction of taking apart the jacket to the bags and the longer coat is introducing like a mending type of sense for the customer. So with this whole jacket and bags, I've also created a manual just to explain how it's put together and some very, very simple mending techniques in the back, just nicely illustrated.
Simple for you.
Yes. Well, I'll try to keep it simple.
Well, listen, it looks absolutely terrific. The blues and the top, and I just love this idea of the recycling and this sort of two-in-one multi-purpose. It's just a cracking idea. So many thanks and very best of luck.
Thank you.
I was blown away by the quality of the art at the show and the creativity and ambition of the artists. Yet again, the Isle of Man punching well above its weight when it comes to artistic talent. Still a chance to go and see it. Follicon showing at the Villa Arcade until Friday.
Spotlight. Brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, lest I forget, Ramsey Music Society. We haven't caught up with Olga for a while. I think she's been away sunning herself. However, she tells me the 2026 season continues this coming Monday, the 18th of May, when they welcome young performers from the Royal Northern College of Music. Clara Hope Simpson on cello and Philip Leslie on piano, showcasing rising stars of classical music as they do so well. Clara, versatile cellist, she's performed as a soloist in venues including the Wigmore Hall, Stoller Hall and Kodak Hall, won solo awards including the John Barbarolli Memorial Prize for cello and the Musicales Prize at the Royal Northern College of Music. You get the impression she is very good, of course, as they all are. She's performed in many countries as a soloist and as a member of a chamber ensemble. Philip Leslie, known for captivating playing and diverse programming, praised for his sense of culture and refinement and described as a real artist by the Keyboard Charitable Trust. He made his Southbank debut in 2019, has performed across the UK and Europe, including performances at Salcotor, Stanway Hall, Palo de Musica, St John Smith Square, Liverpool Philharmonic Hall and Cadogan Hall in London as well, to name but a few. A recipient of the Van Garten Prize and Silver Medal Keyboard Award for his studies. And he is an emerging artist for the Usher Hall's 23-24 season. Or should I say he was. Sounds like terrific stuff. It will be, of course, they always are. Selected pieces by Dvorak, Debussy, Coleridge Taylor, Fanny Mendelssohn, Chopin and Brahms. Great mix of piano solo pieces and major cello and piano pieces. And it takes place, the West Building, Ramsey Grammar School, this coming Monday. Tickets £15 at the door, in cash, please. Concerts are free for school-aged pupils, if you're lucky enough to be one. Please go along and support them. Great stuff, getting that music into the north of the island. From music and art to drama, the Southern Drama Group Russian Players on a roll at the moment. They've got another production on at the Erin Arts Centre this coming weekend, Visitors. To find out more, I spoke to actors Danny Berry and Graeme Roberts and first director Sarah Lockyer.
Well, it's essentially a love story, but it's a love story about an older couple, one of whom is starting to succumb to dementia, and it's about their memories and their relationship and their relationship with their son. I think poignant is the right word. I think audiences will leave with a tear in their eye, but they will also appreciate the kind of gentle humour of it too. It's set in a farmhouse. We moved the setting because we thought it would probably be easier to move it to the north. So we've set it in Yorkshire as opposed to down south. Mm-hmm. And we've got two actors who are, there are four actors all together, but the main couple are Edie and Arthur. And we have Danny and Graham here who play them. And I'm sure they can tell you a little bit about the kind of characters they are and the kind of relationship they develop in this play.
Absolutely. Yes. So to tell us, Danny, we'll start with you.
Well, it's been very thought provoking, as Sarah said, because I basically play a woman in the later heart of her life who is basically losing her marbles, really. So to be able to portray that has been quite difficult because initially I'm sort of on the ball and, you know, and then I have to show through the progression of the play how I gradually get worse. So there's various ways we do that. One of them is with knitting, basically. As in, I can really knit quite well in the beginning and then the knitting slowly gets discarded. So that's just one way that we can show it, really.
Did you have to actually learn to knit for the show?
Or
were you a knitter already?
I can knit, yeah. Yeah, I can knit. Yeah, and they have a very good relationship, I think, and that comes across in the play, really, is how they take the mickey out of one another all the time.
Mm. Yeah, they're a very good relationship. They've been married for a long time, that's the thing. And the reason we set it in Yorkshire is because we could do Yorkshire accents better than Southern accents.
Yeah, yeah. Well, absolutely. Go with what you know, yeah. Absolutely.
I think it's been described as a sad play rather than a heavy play, I would say.
It does have funny moments.
Well, it has funny moments in it, yes. Particularly when we forget the lines.
Yeah, particularly that.
Well, one of the funniest moments is actually a very badly told joke.
It is.
By your son.
Yes, it is. We have to go through that every night, yeah.
But I think the thing is, as you say, it is real life. And again, I'm sure a lot of people, I can relate myself, you know, my father had a bit of dementia at some stage and, you know, you've got to bring in that element of humour because there was one stage where after 60-some years, I'm going to get a divorce, you know, and all you can do is laugh, really, because it's you know, it wasn't serious, it was just... Mm. And you've got to smile with it, so it's a real life in many ways.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's always been, I think, one of my biggest fears is the thought that I'd end up with dementia. So this has really, really made me think about the future. Yeah.
I've had experience of relatives with dementia as well, and it does it hits home.
It does.
Yeah, it's very well portrayed, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Yes, I mean, it was the. It was a young playwright as well. I mean, I think it was his first play, wasn't it? And he was in his 20s when he wrote it, which is quite surprising in some way because he probably didn't have... Well, he may have done through relatives, but he obviously wouldn't have had direct experience of that with a partner, for example. But I think the other thing that really comes through is that the two younger characters actually seem more lost than the older couple, who, despite what's going on with them, still have this wonderful bond and a kind of loving relationship to look back on and to take comfort in it better than the younger people
in it, really, don't we?
Mm. But there's also the relationships between the parents and the son as well, which is a bit strained. Well, particularly between the father and the son at times, isn't it? I think the mother's got a better relationship with the son.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the son works in life insurance, and he's working out if he can free up some money to put her in a home, mum in a home. Yeah. And of course, mum doesn't want to go into a home, and dad's resistant. And very close to real experience.
Did we mention that it's set on a farm as well? Yeah. Arthur is a farmer and has been a farmer all his life, his father before him, and the farm is a family farm. The son has decided not to farm and has gone into life insurance, which understandably the father can't get to come to terms with.
And it's a bit of a bone of contention.
Yeah, he wanted him to take the farm over. Yeah.
Yeah.
So challenging roles, is it anything you've done before or something similar? Or is it something which has taken you out of your comfort zone as actors?
Yeah, it has me, because a lot of the play I'm sort of zoned out as if I'm not really there, but I also have to consciously think about where we are in the play so I don't forget when I do have to actually come in. So that in itself has its challenge.
Mm. Yeah. And there are practicalities. For instance, I have to interject with one word every now and again.
Yeah.
And that is if you act yourself, so you know what it's like. You're waiting forever
and then you
miss it.
Where is it? Yeah. Where is it now? It's coming up. Yeah. It's sometimes harder, that, isn't it? Yeah. Thinking, oh my lord, sitting around for ages.
But Danny has to a lot of lines, don't you?
Yeah.
And this switching all the time from thinking, remembering things and then coming back to the present, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it is. It's been a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. But you do it perfectly.
Oh, get out. We wish.
So as you say, it's a play which is very true to life by the sound of it, or might even be based on the sort of, you know, the grains of a true life story, who knows.
Mm.
And elements of humour in it, though, as you say, it's sort of sad and reflective, but it's not. I'm assuming not a depressing play. Or?
No, I don't think so, because I think there's such comfort that they take from each other still. They're having been married for years and years and years, things that they can look back on and be happy about, which is really in contrast with the two younger characters who are both, you know, not really finding their way, and you get the feeling they're not necessarily ever going to have this kind of stable relationship that will make them happy in the long term. So
I think it's more touching than sad, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, we hope the audiences will enjoy it, because whether you're young or whether you're old, this day is going to come to all of us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you're not going to avoid it.
It's an iron. No.
I have actually said to my children, make sure you come and watch this play, because it's going to be the future for them and for me.
For all of us. Yeah.
Yes.
For all of us. Yeah. And sort of art imitating life, as it were, as you say, the money being raised for Southern Befrienders, who deal with exactly this sort of
issue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Visitors on at the EAC the 14th to the 16th of May, so that's tomorrow to Saturday, of course. Get along if you can and support them. More from Russian Players next week. The wonderful sound of bell ringing. Not on the Isle of Man in that case, but you do get a bonus point if you can tell me the name of the peel. If you've ever fancied a go at bell ringing, then keep your ears peeled. There's a pun in there somewhere. As I spoke to Tower Captain and Deputy Tower Captain of St George's Bell Ringers, Ernie and Bethany Dalee Runciman.
I'm the Secretary of the Central Council of Church Bell Ringers, the international and representative body for bell ringers church bell ringers worldwide. We have an initiative which has been going on for a number of years to, in effect, future-proof the art of church bell ringing into the 21st, 22nd century. We've called it Ringing 2030. Initial objective is to recruit at least 10,000 extra bell ringers.
Wow, that's a lot.
In the country. We've got about 35,000 at the moment. But like any activity, they're all getting a bit old, and we just need to make sure we keep our recruitment going forward. We've had a number of initiatives. People might have heard about Ring for the King.
Yeah.
That was very successful.
Remember that.
And there's another big one coming up in September. This is a small marketing publicity drive called Bell Sunday, which is aimed at the local parish churches to just raise the profile of bell ringing in the local community. And it's being held this Sunday, which Bethany will tell us is the
St. Dunstan's Day.
The Feast of St. Dunstan, who was Archbishop of Canterbury in the 9th, 10th century and is the patron saint of bell founders and bell ringers. So that's why we've chosen this day. And it's just an initiative to make the local congregations around the country aware of what's going on in their tower. Yes,
absolutely. So who'll be ringing on Sunday then?
Our local bell ringers. I've got a band of this is St. George's Church in the heart of Douglas. And we've got a band of about, when I can get everybody together, of about 12 people.
Yeah, well, we have 12 bells.
We've got 12 bells, yeah. But we're averaging about 6 to 8 on a Sunday morning, so we're always looking to recruit more bell ringers, people into the fascinating art of church bell ringing.
Yeah. This time we're doing something slightly different. We've got a TV screen down in the lobby, so if anybody can't get up a few flights of stairs, they'll be able to come into the church lobby and actually see us ringing live upstairs. So we're doing that for the first time before and after the service. But if anybody wants to come and actually see us ring, they're more than welcome to, and I'm sure people can direct them up the stairs to us. Yes.
But with the wonderful support of our rector, the Venerable Irene Cowan, the whole service will be themed around church bell ringing, a couple of church bell ringing hymns, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my children's church will be learning about church bells in the lobby on Sunday morning as well.
Yes.
So what brought both of you into bell ringing then? Was it something you just always wanted to do, or did you sort of,
Many, many, many years ago, I went to a scout camp. I was a scout leader in Bootle in Merseyside. And one of the leaders would just not stop talking about it. So one Thursday night in 1975, I went up the tower to see what was going on and haven't come down the tower since.
My story is similar. I was living in Bowden in Cheshire. I was 17 years old, and the local church newsletter came through the door and it had an advert asking for bell ringers. And I must admit, it just shows the difference in safeguarding, because I'm sure my parents never even went up the tower with me. But I said to them, I want to go and have a look at this. And yes, just started from there. And then I think we both progressed into University Society of Ringers, which are excellent ways of socialising, because there's plenty of beer drinking as well as bell ringing.
Be honest now, how difficult is it? Because it always looks pretty sort of mathematical, and you hear these wonderful names like Little Bob Maximus and Splice Surprise Major and Grandsire Doubles, these wonderfully romantic sounding names for these four peals, but it's also in, as I understand it, in sort of mathematical patterns. Is it difficult to get a foothold into it?
No, if you can count to six and you can stretch your hands up. The most difficult part is walking up the tower.
Yes. Been up a few tours.
I've taught all sorts of people from all sorts of abilities. Some of the people I've taught sometimes struggle to ring, but you've just mentioned, I see you're looking at a CD in front of you.
It's
one of mine, which has got bells on it from St. Paul's Cathedral. At least one member of the band of St. Paul's Cathedral I actually taught.
Wow, that's amazing.
All sorts of abilities. Yeah.
People learn at their own rate.
Yes.
And it's really about getting technique and making sure they're safe. And it doesn't matter if it takes 6 hours or 6 weeks. And then it's a lifetime of learning if you want. If you start early enough, you can learn the things. Yeah. We do have a sort of learner band at St. George's, so it's ideal
for anybody who wants to learn to ring, because they will be at similar stages of some of our ringers.
I've always fancied having a go at bell ringing, to be honest with you. If you fancy a go, get online and get in contact with them. Just go to the Douglas Company of Bell Ringers website or Google Bell Ringing Isle of Man and you'll get the details there. That's it for now. We will be back next week, of course, more from the Russian players, amongst other goods. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hey, Moo!